Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Coming to the Kitab Anwar al-Salam, we had discussed yesterday that what is the objective, what is the maqsad of the tasawwuf, what is the maqsad of threading the path to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that all the zikr that we make, what is the objective of it? And here it mentioned that the objective of all this is that a person, he attains the pleasure, the happiness of Allah ta'ala. And together with that, he gets a nisbat batini, internal connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And this is what we interpret as having special love that a person has for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. When a person got the special love for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then in every condition, he remembers Allah ta'ala, and he is always conscious of Allah. Because he is conscious of Allah ta'ala, then in all conditions, he tries to please Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Meaning, every moment of his life is now according to Shariat. And we said that this was found in Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, that Hazrat was always conscious of Shariat, that the laws of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala must be upheld every moment of his life. We said that one occasion that the carpet that was made walk to the masjid, that was found in the Khanqah. He said, no, it can't be here. What is belonging to the masjid cannot be used in the Khanqah. Put that back into the masjid. Or the little children, that sometimes their pants would be below the ankles. So even though they're little children, we will say, what day, he's a little child. But they say, no, the law of Shariat is that it must be above the ankle. So there he will say that lift up the pants, it should be below the ankle. Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali is very famous about him. That in India in those days, when they used to travel, they used to come and they used to weigh their luggage. Like how today when you're traveling by plane, you have to weigh your luggage. You're allowed 20 kilos, 30 kilos. Some airlines may be giving 40 kilos, depending. So there also they used to weigh their luggage. And then they used to travel by train. So one day Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, he came and to weigh his luggage. So the person, he knew Hazrat. So he said, Hazrat, you don't worry, you carry on, I'll sort it out. And Hazrat was overweight. So he said, no, what you going to sort out? He says that I'll tell the conductor or the inspector, whoever is there, that not to hassle you, to leave you. So he says, no, I have to go ahead further than where this inspector is going or this conductor is going. So he said, no, the train goes to a certain point. Then another conductor, another inspector, he will come in. And when he comes in, I'll tell this person that he should tell him also that not to hassle you for your overweight. So the Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah said, I have to go further than that also. So he said, he will go right up to the last point where the train stops. And then you can get off there. So there's no need for you to worry. So he said that, no, I have to go further than that. I said, where are you going to go? Because the train stops there. That's the final point. So he says, I have to go to Allah Ta'ala. And in the court of Allah Ta'ala will be questioned that here I robbed the railway company. So how am I going to answer in the court of Allah Ta'ala? We would say that we lucky. They didn't charge us. We got away. But as the Thanvi Rahmatullah said, he said that here I never pay for the overweight. I have robbed the railway company. One Khalifa, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah, one day he came to the Khanqah. So he came with his son. So the son, he was over 12 years old. And the rule in India at that time was that if your child is under 12, he pays half ticket. And over 12, you must buy full ticket. So, Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah, if it was us, we would have been so happy. Oh, mashallah, you brought your son, you came to the Khanqah. But Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah was worried about the Islam of his Murideen, that how they can be 100% on Shariat. This is what he's saying here, that your whole life must be according to Shariat. So, Hazrat asked him a question. He said that you came to the Khanqah with your son. He says, how much did you pay for the train ticket? Full ticket or half ticket? So he said, Hazrat, that my son, he looks like he's under 12, small build. So he's under 12. But in reality, he's over 12. So because he's small build, I paid half ticket. He said, you robbed the railway company. And you have brought him here. So he says that I gave you ijazat, I gave you khilafat. He said, I take it back from you. He says, you're not fit to be a khalifa if you can rob the railway company. Today, if we get away half price, we're more than happy. That, hey, our work got done. So we got away. But this is how a person should be, obeying Allah Ta'ala every moment of his life. Not only that a person when he's at home, now he's pious, or in the environment of the madrasa. Then in the environment of the madrasa, everyone is pious, mashallah. Here everyone in the masjid, everyone is pious. But when a person is now out, he's on holiday, then many a times, Faras Salah also we don't worry. There a person is enjoying, he's not worried about his Faras Salah. At home, mashallah, he's wearing kurta, he's dressed properly. He's wearing his imamah, he's wearing khanka, topi, whatever, when he is at home. But when he's on holiday, now he's wearing short pants and he's going to the beach. So that's why in one dua of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we thought, Allahumma inna nas'aluka fi safarina hadha al-birra wa taqwa. Wallah, in the safar of ours, in the travel of ours, We ask you, Allah, al-birra, righteousness. Allah, give us piety. Wa taqwa, and grant us taqwa. Why? Because when we're going to this place, maybe it is a couple of 100 kilometers away. Sometimes it's a couple of 1,000 kilometers away. But the people don't know me there. At home, everyone knows me. And here at home, if I wear the shorts and I walk, I'm wearing Bermudas and walking the street, they say, oh, what kind? Hafizab, Maulana, this person, he's wearing this and he's walking in the street. Everyone knows me. But there, nobody knows me. So there, I can do what I want. So we ask Allah Ta'ala, Allah, give me righteousness there also. Grant me taqwa there also. When nobody knows me, grant me taqwa. Wa min al-amali ma tarda. And Allah, grant me the tawfiq of doing those actions and those amal by which you will become pleased and happy. Hazrat Hakim Sahab Rahmatullah, one poem, what he says, Main jahan bhi raho, jis fida mein bhi raho, mera taqwa hamesha salamat rahe. Allah, wherever I live, main jahan bhi raho, and whichever environment I live, this is for the aeroplane. He wrote this poem for the aeroplane. Generally in the aeroplane, we know when the person is traveling, what gunas happens on top. How the people, how they talking, they flirting to the air hostess. And sometimes there's a woman that is sitting next to you. Now nobody knows you over there on that aeroplane. So now a person, he wants to now make conversation with that lady that is sitting next to him. He wants to now talk to the air hostess. He's calling her, I want this, I want that. So, Hazrat says, Main jahan bhi rahun, jis fida mein bhi rahun, wherever I am, whichever environment, mera taqwa hamesha salamat rahe. My taqwa must be intact. Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. Does he not know? Allah Ta'ala is watching. Wherever you can be, nobody knows you over there. But Allah Ta'ala knows you. And Allah Ta'ala is watching every action. And we are accountable not to another human being. We are accountable in the court of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, give me the tawfiq. I'm most in need of it. And we all in need. It is just a reminder for all of us. Allah Ta'ala, give us tawfiq. On one occasion, Hazrat Hakim Sahab Rahmatullah was on the aeroplane. And then he took out the in-flight magazine. You get the magazine? So he took it out in-flight. So there, when he opened the in-flight magazine, there was a woman that was there. And all these magazines full of women. And how she must have been dressed. So his murids that were there, he called them. And he said, see, I make tawbah. Publicly I'm making tawbah. He didn't have to do it publicly. He opened that magazine, he was on his own. But he said, publicly in front of all of you, I'm making tawbah. That this magazine, I won't open it again. Because of what is in it, all the nudity that is there, the women that are in there. So I won't open this magazine again. So this is how deen must come into the life of a person. So this is the whole object of the tasawwuf. What? That a person, he obeys Allah Ta'ala. Yani, puri zindagi ka har lamha, every moment of our life. Shariat ke mutabik ho jana hai. But be in accordance to Shariat. Kyunki Shariat haqqa mizan-e rada ilahi hai. He says, because Shariat is a scale to measure the happiness of Allah. How much you act on Shariat, that how much Allah Ta'ala will get happy. How much you don't act on Shariat, you go move away from Shariat. To that extent, a person will disobey Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. مختصر, now he gives you the, in short, مختصر یہ کہ نسبت کا مطلب دوام ذکر اور دوام طاعت ہے. He says, in short, what is the meaning of this nisbat? We said that the crux of this whole tasawwuf, suluk, is nisbat, to get connection with Allah Ta'ala. So he says, nisbat is a person now is continuously in the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. One is zikr al-lisani, with the tongue a person makes zikr. But the other is that our entire day, our entire night is in the zikr of Allah if it is done properly. A person is going to his shop, and he goes to his shop with the correct niyat that I'm going to the shop to do business so that I can earn for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala to go and feed my family people. So that now became zikr. He's spending his day in earning, which is the command of Allah Ta'ala. He sat down to eat. He ate with the correct niyat. Allah, I am eating so that I can get strength to make your ibadat. That became zikr now. So see, a person goes to sleep. Allah, I'm sleeping so that I get strength so I can make your ibadat. All that now became zikr of Allah Ta'ala. So he says that what is meant by nisbat, that a person is continuously in the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. Dr. Abdullah Sab Arifi Rahmatullah Ali used to say that just change the angles of things a little bit. Change the angle of things a little bit. And something that was only dunya, that will become deen. Like a person, he bought a car. So that car he can use for holidays, he can use for visiting, he can use it for so many purposes. But if he just has to change his niyat a little bit, he says, Allah, this car I'm buying, that if jamaat come, I will take the jamaat. Now, you made niyat of taking the jamaat for deen. That same car, now you made a good niyat. Allah, people that are sick, I will go and visit the sick people. Allah, where there are talks of deen that are taking place, I will go and sit in those talks. So you change the angle a little bit. That which was dunya, what happened? It now became deen. On Khaja Aziz al-Hasan Sab Madzub rahmatullahi alayhi. He was Khalifa Mullah Sami rahmatullahi alayhi. And they were sitting some madrasa, and there were people that were Khaja Sahab Rahmatullahi. So Khaja Sahab on this occasion, he had some light-hearted conversation with them, and to such an extent that people were laughing, they were rolling with laughter. So when they finished the entire majlis, then Khaja Sahib asked them, he says that from all of you that were here in this about 1 hour, approximately 1 hour he was sitting and talking to them, he said, who remembered Allah Ta'ala? So they said, we didn't remember Allah Ta'ala. At this time we were laughing. So Khaja Sahib rahmatullah said, even at this time when I was joking with you people and we're having light-hearted conversation, he says, at that time also I wasn't negligent of Allah Ta'ala. I was in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala and conscious of Allah even at this time. On one occasion, our Hazrat explained to us that they were in Turkey with Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullah alayh. So he says that they were on the boat. They went on the boat. So he says that after some time, then our Hazrat, he looked for Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullah alayh. He didn't find him. So he went into the bottom deck of the boat. So when he went, Hazrat went in the bottom deck, he saw Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullah alayh sitting there. So he went there and he sat next to Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullah alayh. So then Hazrat told him, Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullah alayh told Hazrat, he said that see, sometimes when a person continuously, he makes zikr, he takes the name of Allah Ta'ala continuously, sometimes a person gets tired. We're not machines, we can't work 24 hours. So sometimes a person gets tired, he's reading Quran Sharif only, he gets tired. He says, but when you get tired, now you're taking the name of Allah and then you got tired. He says, now on your thumbnail, he says, now write Allah over here. So even in this way, you are remembering Allah Ta'ala. So to that extent, a person should remember Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So this is the object of nisbat, that a person, he is continuously in the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. Ulama even written this much, they say, how does a person know whether he is a man of dunya or is a man of deen? They say, easy way to work it out. He says, for a simple example, he says, what do you give preference to? Do you give preference to dunya or you give preference to deen? That will determine, that will give you the answer whether you are a man of dunya or a man of deen. For example, a person, he's got a shop. Now, at the time of Salah came, the Adhan was called. Now it's time to go to the masjid. But at that time, let's say one customer or two customers walk in. What do you give preference to? Will you tell that customer, I'm sorry, it's Salah time. I will come immediately after I complete my Salah and I will see to you. Or you will say, no, leave it, I'll make my Salah on my own in the shop. I can't let this customer go. If you gave preference to the customer, that means you gave preference to your dunya over deen. So that shows that's a man of dunya. And if a person said, no, I'm going to the masjid, I'll come back and see to the customer. In many places, the customers wait. They wait outside also. So that is an indication that this is a man of deen. He gave preference to Allah Ta'ala's command over dunya. So this is, one is that a person must be continuously in zikr. Dawam e zikr. Or dawam e ta'at hai. And nisbat is that a person is always in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. Always a person is obeying the commands of Allah Ta'ala. Aur tamam ta'at mein sabse muhtam bishan ta'at namaz hai. So from all the different types of obedience, all the various types of ibadat, the most important obedience and ibadat is that of salah. From all the ibadat and all the ta'at and the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala, the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, the highest is that of salah. Jiska asar tamam buraiyon se bachana aur zindagi ki har shoba ko ibadat bana dena hai. Says, what is the effect of the salah? The effect of the salah is to stop a person, to protect a person from gunas, which we discussed. Inna salata tanha an al-fahsha'i wal munkar. From salah will stop you from evil and indecency. The sahabi is to perform salah, and in the morning he is to go at night, and in the morning he is to go out and see. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, leave him. That this salah will stop him. Eventually he will give up that evil habit of his. So he says that the effect of salah is that a person will give up all his gunas. And every department of his life will then become ibadat. That is what salah will convert a person. Salah has the potential of reforming a person totally. But that is, we discussed, that a proper salah has to be made. Jiski tafsir Quran wa hadith mein aayi hai. And the details of this have come in the Quran and hadith. Isiliye roze mahshar mein sabse awwal namaz hi ka hisab hoga. It is for this reason that on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah Ta'ala will take us to account, what will be the first thing? أَوَّلُ مَا يُحَاسَبُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ. The first thing that a person will be taken to account for on the day of Qiyamah will be the salah. Namaz ke fazail aur ahmiyat, ulama aur mashayikh hamesha se tahreer farmate chale aaye hain. The fazail of salah, the virtues of salah, the importance of salah, the ulama and the mashayikh have always written of the importance of salah and the virtues of performing salah. Aur isme hamare Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Alayh ka bhi ek risala فضائل نماز بہت ہی مبارک اور مؤثر ہے. And he says that one booklet of our Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh is extremely blessed and is very very effective, which is the Fazail Amal. That how effective, if a person really has to read it, the effect of it, if a person really reads Fazail Sadaqat, especially for ulama, then see the effect of that Fazail Sadaqat when it comes into the life of a person. So he said, this is also very very effective. We take it for granted, oh, now this hadith we heard so many times, so we don't have to listen to it. But when a person listens to it again and again, then gradually the effect of it comes into the life of a person. Aur namaz ke zahiri masail kutub-e-fiqh mein darj hai. The outward masail of salah, this is found in the kitabs of fiqh. Aur mukhtasar taur par Urdu mein risala ta'limul islam aur beshti zewar. And very very briefly in Urdu, the booklet ta'limul islam, here you will find all the masail. Beshti zewar, here also you will find all the masail. اور بیشتی زیور میں تمام ضروری مسائل کا بیان ہے. All the necessary مسائل are recorded in these kitabs. So here we find that one is the outward of salah. All these مسائل are to correct our outward postures of salah. How to perform salah, what is farz in namaz, what is wajib in namaz, what is sunnat in namaz, what is mustahab in namaz. All these مسائل will correct all these aspects of salah. So this example of this is like a person, he has to have a container. When a person has got the container, now you can fill something in the container. But if you want to fill, for example, you got some leftover food, now you want to put it. If you don't have a container, how are you going to put the food? You need the container first. So exactly the same way, understand, another example we can take is that a child, when the woman, she conceives, then within a period of 4 months, all the various, the woman goes through the various stages of pregnancy. And at 4 months, now we find that the limbs of the child are now formed. When the limbs of the child are formed, after 4 months and 10 days, now the ruh is put into the child. If there's no limbs, where are you going to put the ruh? There's no ruh. So only when the limbs are formed, then the ruh is put in. So exactly the same way, first we need to know how to perform salah. When you know how to perform salah, now you will attain the ruh. Now we need to learn how to get the ruh of the salah. How to get the spirit of the salah. How to perform such a salah that will take us from the earth up to the arsh of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But first learn the masail of salah. That is why we discuss the fazail, we do the masail, and then we come to anwar of salah. Lekin Quran aur sunnat mein iski bhi wadahat hai ke namaz ki tamam fazail aur zindagi par iska asar haqiqi namaz yani baru khushu aur khudu wali namaz se hasil hota hai. He says, but we learn from the Quran and the sunnah, from the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is very clear that only that salah that has life in it, that salah that has concentration and devotion, which we refer to as khushu and khudu, which I discussed in detail, what is khushu and khudu. That salah that has khushu and khudu in it, that has ruh, that has life in it, it is only that salah that will have an effect, will have an effect on a person, and only that person will get all the virtues that have been mentioned for performing salah. One Sahabi, he performed salah on one occasion. After performing salah, he came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, "Salli, fa innaka lam tusalli." Go read namaz again. You didn't read namaz. So he went again. He read his namaz. He came back. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, "Salli, fa innaka lam tusalli." Go read your namaz. You haven't read your namaz. So he went back second time. He came back. When he came back again, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, 3 times it happened. Then after the third time, so see, that salah which is performed, but is not performed correctly, that won't have an effect on a person. That salah that is done with khushu and khudu, that salah that is done with the ruh, with the spirit of salah, that salah will have an effect on a person. So then on the third time he told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, "Ya Rasulullah, arini wa allimni," that show me how to perform salah. I don't know how to perform salah. Teach me salah. I don't know how to perform salah. Everyone is reading salah. We think we know our salah. You're the sahabi of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's living with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling him, "You never read namaz, go and read your namaz again." And after 3 times, when he couldn't get it right, now he tells Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, "Arini wa allimni." So now Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught him. Why? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could have taught him the first time. When he came the first time, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, "You didn't read namaz." He could have showed him, "This is how you read namaz." Why he didn't show him what his error was? Because the talab must be there. The desire must be there. When you have a desire to learn something, then now you will take benefit from there. A person that doesn't have desire, he's not going to learn. For example, here in the madrasa, there are people that are working in the kitchen. There are people that are working in a garden. They are here longer than many of us. They are here for years and years, 20 years, 30 years, maybe they are here. But they have no desire to become alim. So many come, they become ulama, they graduate, and they go out and they're serving the deen of Allah Ta'ala. But that person who is a gardener, he is still there. He hasn't got the desire, he's not going to progress. In Darulum Deoban, Mufti Sayyid Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah Barakatuh mentioned, he said that in the Dora Hadith, there are how many students? Sometimes approximately 1,000 students sitting in Dora Hadith. So he says there's one man that has to be there all the time. He has to adjust the mic, control the mic. All the time he has to be there. But how many years he must be working? The 20 years, he's sitting in final year. He is listening to Siha Sitta, all the 6 authentic books of Hadith. But he doesn't become an alim. Why? Talab is not there, desire is not there. So here also when the desire was found, now Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed him how to perform Salah. Ta'adil arkan. That in every posture, all the limbs of the body must come to a total, complete standstill. All the limbs must come to a complete standstill. Then you move over to the next posture. After reading your tasbihah, then you move over to the next posture. So he was performing Salah without ta'adil arkan. And ta'adil arkan is wajib. If a person doesn't, he just rushes. Allahu Akbar, Sami Allahu liman hamida. No ta'adil arkan. So that Salah becomes wajibul i'adah. He has to repeat the tamaz all over again. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then taught him. Sahaba say when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then explained Salah, through this Sahabi, we then learn the Salah from Nabi Akareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So see, Salah also, we have to learn how to perform Salah properly. So he said that this is the Salah with concentration, khushu and khudu, that has life in it, that has an effect in the life of a person. Jisme ihsan ki kayfiyat, yani an ta'bud Allah ka annaka tarah ka manzar ho, in which the quality of ihsan is found. Such a Salah, that when we're performing Salah, a person is conscious that you're worshipping Allah Ta'ala as though you can see Allah Ta'ala. And if you cannot see Allah Ta'ala, then at least have this, that Allah Ta'ala is watching me. Now, the example of this is, like a person that he's working for a boss, and the boss is standing there. When the boss is there, what happens? Everyone is now working. Why? Because the boss is there. They know he's going to pay my salary end of the month. Or the ustad or the principal is there. Now everyone is behaving. Why? Because the principal is standing there. But the boss is gone. When the boss is on holiday, he's gone 1 week holiday. And now there's no boss in the shop. Now what happens? Everyone is also relaxing. Why? Because the boss is not there. So exactly when a person is conscious, Allah Ta'ala is watching me, or I can see Allah Ta'ala before me, then what happens? Look at the quality of his salah. And if a person doesn't have this, that I'm before Allah Ta'ala, or Allah Ta'ala is watching me, now he's not going to worry about his salah. He won't read a perfect salah. So this will make a person conscious. In the time of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, the jinnat, we are under Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, and the jinnat built Baytul Muqaddas. But when Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam had passed away, the jinnat were still busy. They were building Baytul Muqaddas, and Sulaiman alayhi salam passed away. But Allah Ta'ala made it such that Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam remained standing there. He was holding his asa, he was holding his stick, and he remained standing there. But at the same time, there were termites that were biting the stick from the bottom. Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا قَضَيْنَا عَلَيْهِ الْمَوْتِ, when we decreed death upon Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, that now Sulaiman alayhi salam passed away, مَا دَلَّهُمْ عَلَىٰ مَوْتِ, that it did not, إِلَّا دَابَّةُ الْأَرْضِ, that nothing indicated to these jinnat the death of Sulaiman alayhi salam, because he's holding his asa and he's standing there. So they didn't know Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam had passed away. Except those termites that were now biting from the stick, in the bottom of the stick. They kept biting and biting in the bottom. تَأْكُلُ مِنْ سَأَتَ, they were biting and they were eating the bottom of the stick. Now when Baytul Muqaddas was completed, what happened? Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam fell. When Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam fell, now the jinnah realized, oh, Sulaiman alayhi salam was gone. So Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا خَرَّ, when he fell, تَبَيَّنَتِ الْجِنِّ, it became known to the jinn, أَلَّوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ الْغَيْبِ مَا لَبِثُوا فِي الْعَذَابِ الْمُهِينَ, that if they knew the unseen, they knew of the unseen, because it was famous in those days that the jinnat also know of the ghaib and the unseen, which was incorrect. So had they known about the unseen, they wouldn't have remained in this humiliation. They wouldn't have carried on working so hard. But they didn't know Sulaiman alayhi salam was still, had passed away, whereas they thought he was still alive, and they continued working. So see, when the boss is standing there, how the people would work. But when the boss is not there, then it's a different scenario altogether. So when Allah Ta'ala is before us and a person now performs Salah, that one sajda that he makes, that sajda, where will it take him? That ruku of his, where will it take him? Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also is mentioned that before, when you come into the house, Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was light hearted, very kind to his family, to his wives, etc. But the moment the adhan was called, the face of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would change color. Now Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would immediately proceed. He would go to the masjid. So here also, this quality of ihsan, this must come in, that I'm watching Allah Ta'ala. Or if a person can't do that, Allah Ta'ala is watching me. And in this way, if he performs salah, then see the quality of his salah. Further, he says, "Aur ghaflat wali namaz ke liye to Quran wa hadith mein sakht wa'id aayi hai." To perform a salah of negligence, of ghaflat, then severe stern warnings have come in the Quran and hadith. Quran Pak mein irshad hai, "Qad aflaha al mu'minun alladhina hum fi salatihim khashi'un." Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that certainly the believers are successful. This also we discussed. But Allah Ta'ala says, those people that have khushu in their salah. Here, what's the meaning of khushu? Mufassirin have written that those that have khushu in their salah, one meaning of khushu is khaifun. They fear Allah Ta'ala. They fear standing before Allah Ta'ala. If a person is standing before some senior, for example, he has a court case and he's standing before the judge. Now, how does a person, how is he so fearful? Will he have time to scratch his beard and scratch his hair and play with his watch that is on his hand? No. At that time, he is worried what is going to happen. So, exactly understand our situation. We're standing before Allah Ta'ala. If a fear of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala is here. Jannat is before me. Jahannam is before me. How wouldn't a person perform salah? Our Hazrat explained many times. He says, we leave our home. We come to the masjid. No scratch on the body. We make wudu, no scratch on the body. The moment we say Allahu Akbar, now head is scratching, back is scratching, all the scratch only come now. So at that time, just tell yourself, just say, you know what, just wait a little bit now, I'll just finish my salah, and then I'll scratch you as much as you want. You want me to scratch you 10 minutes, I'll scratch you 10 minutes. But now let me just finish my salah. So only in namaz, all these things happen. Today, our wudu, we don't make our wudu properly. Wudu, according to sunnah, is a person when he gargles also, he must make ghargara. Not when a person is fasting. When a person is fasting, you don't take the water in. Just slightly in and out. But when a person is not fasting, a person is supposed to take it right up to the throat. Make ghargara and then take the water out. And today people complain, throat is paining and they want to have some lozenges and TCP and things of that sort. A person, he gargles properly. Inshallah, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will protect him from inflammation of the throat, etc. So, ghargara we don't make. We learned in the Masail also. You hardly see anyone making this ghargara. The water that we take in the nostrils, when we're not fasting, when we're fasting is different. When we're not fasting, supposed to take it right, we take it up. But there also people don't really take it up. We just put the water and finish. We go on to the next limb of the body. We learned in the Masail that a person will be making masa, after making masa of the ears, who do we see? That the baby finger, it is mustahab to take the baby finger after making masa of the ears and put it in the ear and clean the ear. So much of taharat in our wudu also. How wudu is supposed to be done according to sunnah, but it's not done. The masa, all this has benefit. The masa of the neck that a person makes. Today they think, doctors are saying today, that on a hot day, that there is a vein that is at the back here. And on a hot day, that gets heated up, that swells. So the sunnah, mustahab of wudu, is make masa of the neck. That cools. The water comes onto that vein, that cools it down. The way we're supposed to be wearing our trouser, is the trouser supposed to be above the ankle, not below the ankle. What is below the ankle, that is in the fire of Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala protect us. So it's supposed to be above the ankle. Today they think, scientists are saying today, that when the ankle is exposed, and the rays of the sun hit the ankle, what happens? This generates energy in the body of a person. We don't do it for all these benefits. We do it because of the sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How many people are suffering from depression in the world? How many people? How many commit suicide every year? And the more wealthy a person is, they are the ones that commit the most amount of suicide. But Quran told us that for your depression, Ala bi dhikrillah tatma'innul qulub. Make dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, the heart will be at ease. Today doctors are prescribing that in Germany and other places, that people that are suffering from depression, they're telling them, make the dhikr Allah. Make the dhikr Allah. And after a short period of time, this depression that you're suffering, you'll be cured from this depression. So the solution to every problem that we have, Allah Ta'ala has kept in deen. For example, many people today, they want to detox. So they go on to a diet, only allowed to eat certain foods, don't eat these foods, etc. So they're going for detox. Allah Ta'ala has made it so easy for us to mention that if any person that passed 1 month in the year, and they say at least once a week, a person should miss out one meal. Once a week, miss out one meal. That person, Allah Ta'ala will keep him healthy. We got our fast of Ramadan, fast every Monday and Thursday, which is the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a person remain healthy. And if a person fasts 13th, 14th, 15th of every month, person fasting a month of Ramadan, what to say then about that person? How healthy wouldn't Allah Ta'ala keep a person? One alim, he met one doctor in New York airport. So that Hindu doctor. So the Hindu asked him, he says, when you fasting? So he said, but are you Muslim? He said, no, I'm Hindu. He said, so why are you asking when we fasting? So he says, me, I also fast 1 month in the year. So he said, why? Why you fast? You Hindu. So he said, I did the research. Anyone that fasts for 1 month in the year, he remains healthy for the rest of the year. So we got Shariat. Allah Ta'ala has made it so easy. We don't fast for this, for these reasons. What is the command of Allah? That is the greatest thing for us. What is the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? That is the greatest for us. Because Allah's command, the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we will act upon it. Inshallah, we'll continue from this point.